Hello, welcome to Walt Love Podcasting. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the numerous dining options currently available at Disney's Hollywood Studios. This involves the snack options, quick service, and of course, table service. Today, you're joined by me, Brent, Schmoofy on Twitter, along with
Josh, easywww.com, a great site,
and Mike with blogmickey.com.
So let's start off discussing some of the table service options at Disney's Hollywood Studios, of course. Trying to figure out what's the best bang for your buck. There's, of course, the signature location, the Hollywood Brown Derby. Then you have three table service, Brett. The Sci-Fi Dine-In, you have 50s Primetime Cafe, and then you have Hollywood and Vine, asterisk, whatever theme is currently happening. So, I honestly don't think the Brown Derby is worth the hype.
What hype?
Exactly. I feel that there's like four or five people who continuously say that the Brown Derby is the best signature on property. And in my few experiences there, I've not had that even exceed my Backlot Express experience. I mean, there's no chicken nuggets on the menu.
Fair.
The ambiance leaves a lot to be desired. I get if you're into old school Hollywood, but I'm at studios for Star Wars.
Fair.
Is there a defender of Brown Derby here at the table?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm a big Brown Derby guy, especially for lunch.
I'll give you a lunch.
Yeah, for lunch, they have a delicious chicken sandwich. It's $19. They have a fantastic burger for $23. You can enjoy the same atmosphere as dinner, the same great service, the same very good bread with the Himalayan sea salt butter. It's very relaxing. It's a good way to recharge yourself. It's an easy reservation to get, and it's not all that much more than quick service. If Backlot is going to charge you $15 for their burger, you might as well go to Brown Derby, spend eight more. They also have the shrimp and grits. They also have the Brown Derby Lounge.
The BD Lounge has those margarita and martini samplers still.
They have the flights. Yeah.
The flights are great.
They have the sliders, a duck slider and a Wagyu beef slider. A delicious shrimp option out there as well.
Now, you don't want to be stuck on the patio in the sweltering summer heat.
Not without a martini flight.
No, or two. And it's not that bad priced either. I mean, you're getting these really good, decent drinks for how much was the flight last time I checked?
$18? $15? $18?
It's not bad.
Not bad.
You're getting three drinks for the price of one.
Yeah, the martinis, all booze.
Can't go wrong there.
Mm-mm.
I just don't feel that the overall price for dinner beats what you can do there for lunch.
I would definitely go there for lunch. The full menu is available. And if you go to the lounge, the full menu is available out there as well. The lounge food not available in the restaurant. At least for me, if I'm going to spend big money, like I want to make an evening out of it. So I'm not going to go to a theme park with the exception of Tiffin's and drop $55 on a steak for dinner. Like I want to get dressed up. I want to go to the Grand Floridian. I want to get a drink at the Be Our Guest bar, aka Misner's. And, you know, I want to go to Citrico's. I want to watch the fireworks. I want to go home, not have to enter a theme park and deal with that, or just go with a bunch of people dressed in shorts and Mickey ears, which, granted, that's what you're going to find at Citrico's, but you can keep your head down.
Sci-Fi Dine-In.
Well, hold on. Before we go there, if we're talking about ambiance here, what can people expect?
From the Brown Derby?
Yeah.
A lot of wood. The servers are wearing tuxedos, which you're not going to find in very many places. White linen tablecloths. Also not a lot of signatures. It's a very elegant space. I don't know if it transport you. It's based on the original Brown Derby restaurant, which has since closed. They also have a fantastic Cobb salad there. Brown Derby, home of the Cobb, of course. Sure. So it would be my lunch choice at Hollywood Studios. I don't think you can do better for the money. The shrimp and grits is like $26. It is delicious. The burger is fantastic with an egg on it, hand-cut fries.
But perhaps the the least themed table service at Studios, right?
If you consider a restaurant exquisitely themed, an exquisitely themed throwback to the original, as a poorly themed restaurant, then yes, absolutely. It's very
properly
poor
themed.
So it's a poor restaurant.
Poor restaurant.
For poor people.
That's why we go to lunch.
I've never been a Brown Derby fan.
No, me either. I'm sure it's fine, but I don't go to studios to eat at all, so I'll be able to contribute a lot to this podcast.
I was about to say.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be.
Speaking of worse, let's talk about sci-fi dine-in.
Sci-fi is fine.
No, it's not.
I'm a huge sci-fi guy.
Of course you are.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean? You can't get sci-fi dine-in anywhere else in the world.
So I like the space. I don't like the food.
Fried pickles.
Fried pickles.
Fried pickles. On the appetizer menu.
Mm-hmm.
Their milkshakes are good. They actually have a really good barbecue plate. They have a really good vegan lettuce wrap situation. The burgers, I think, are fine. A barbecue burger, $21. Not that much more than you'd pay at quick service again.
Mm-hmm. No, but the point with sci-fi is that you're not going to be able to get a same-day reservation. You're going to need to get this out there.
It's surprisingly difficult to get a reservation. They do take a number of walk-ups, typically, although you can get stuck back at the picnic tables in the back with the walk-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So inside of Sci-Fi Dine-In, of course, you're going to be in your vehicle watching old clips on a projection screen to theme it inside, but make it look like you're outside at a drive-in movie theater. And then, of course, there's a concession stand where the kitchen is in the back, and there's a few tables that are just like concession stand tables. That you can be stuck at, and it doesn't.
If you do walk up,
if you do walk up, I don't know if it ruins the experience, but it definitely changes it.
It can ruin it. I like the sci-fi dine-in space. I really like the space. Like if I could get some food that I enjoy
as a Disney foodie.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't live up to your vast expectations of what a $21 burger should be.
Well, when we're coming off of our discussion about Disney Springs and how great the food was at those restaurants, you realize that when you get into a park, you're going to have perhaps nicer themed spaces, but the food doesn't live up to where I want to throw my $20 bill.
I don't remember that podcast.
But the space is phenomenal. I really like the space in there. I really like the fact that you get to sit in your drive-in movie car and they've got the clips going. Granted, what is it, like a maybe like a 30-40 minute loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not that
so you'll see repeats during your dining event, but it's good.
The seating situation is 2x2x2 typically, so two people sitting near each other. So if you're a family of four, you're gonna have two people in front and two people behind probably, which I've always said is a good way to get away from your in-laws for an hour and a half because you don't have to look at them.
It's true. And I see it all the time with parents too, who will put both of their kids at the front of the car and then they can enjoy a meal by themselves while their kids are completely preoccupied, but with what's on the screen.
I think the food is inexpensive enough to get a pass.
On quality.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to, I would also say share an appetizer. Try the fried pickles.
They're great.
Share a burger. Share a milkshake. And you haven't spent a lot more money than two quick service entrees. And the service can be a bit spotty.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say that about anywhere. And if we're going to compare food to Disney Springs the whole time, we're going to have a bad time across the board.
Yeah, that's true. Ultimately, even though I don't typically terribly enjoy the food there, I think it's almost as close to a must-do for a studios-type meal as you can get at Hollywood Studios until Star Wars opens, of course.
It's an attraction in itself.
It is, which I love about it.
And they have a barbecue plate that is surprisingly good. As a guy who frequents Memphis, Tennessee, and knows barbecue very well, it's very shareable. It's, I think it's $26. You get the fried pickles, you get that barbecue plate to share, you get a milkshake to share, you get the milkshake, they split it into two cups. Like it's a very, very pleasant meal.
So as long as you're listening to Walt Love Podcasting, you can do no wrong because you've gotten a few dishes recommended already.
Absolutely.
But if you just go
you can
there,
have a bad time there.
Of course you can.
We haven't spoken about the bad food. If you get the ribs, you're going to have a bad time.
Of course.
If you get the shrimp pasta, you're going to have a bad time.
You're describing
my
last few visits.
You're going to have a bad time. So absolutely, there are mistakes that can be made.
So if you sit down and you just kind of run your finger over the menu and just say, yeah, that sounds good. Even though it sounds good, it's probably terrible.
No, I stick to the only thing over $25 I would get is a barbecue plate. Otherwise, get a burger or a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that was my mistake. It's the last few times that I went, it was like ribs, it was a shrimp pasta, it was all the things that you just listed as terrible.
Yeah, skip the dining plan there. Probably yeah. It's inexpensive.
But it's such a cool space that you have to do it, right?
Yeah, it's really unique and maybe one of the last real old school Hollywood studio spaces. And I wish they'd bring breakfast back there.
Right? So it's so cool because you start your dining experience behind the movie screen. So in a backstage area mm-hmm. where you're walking by on the reverse of these, you know, you walk in, and when you walk into the space, you see the Hollywood Hills, you see like all these painted vistas. But when you start your dining experience, you're on the backside of those. So you see the wood, the 2x4, all the props, that sort of thing. And then it unveils itself in front of you, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 50s Primetime Cafe is another table service option at Hollywood Studios. This one, of course, is themed to more of the, of course, 50s, you know, primetime show, sitcom.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that. The theme is so hard to convey, especially in today's world. It's like, no, this actually existed.
It's like a 1950s, what you'd expect for a home, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That's what we do here.
Yeah. I don't like 50s Primetime Cafe at all.
Is that because you're in a forced social interaction space? Because I hate it for the same reason. I'm not a fan.
I don't have anything. It's cramped. It's loud.
The waiting area is absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Because there's tunits. The waiting area doubles as a bar.
Mm-hmm.
There's good stuff at 50s Primetime Cafe. If you do go there, get the fried chicken and get the peanut butter and jelly shake. Mm-hmm. Trust me on the shake. It's mostly peanut butter. Just a little bit of jelly, in my opinion. If you get those two things, you'll have a good time. The pot pie is also very good. But there is nothing else on that menu. And the onion rings are okay, but it's a pretty lousy portion for $9.
Last time we went, we had the sampler, which included the meatloaf, the fried chicken.
The pot roast.
And I felt that was good. It honestly...
How much was it, if you recall?
I think it was $26. Yeah. It wasn't bad price. We had it. I felt the meatloaf was fine. We also went... at a weird time. It was a seating after 8 p.m. and I expected bad service and bad food. Because, you know, the kitchen's trying to close down at that point. Mm-hmm. But we actually received really good portions.
Yeah, they just piled up whatever they had left.
There wasn't a sampler on the menu when the day started.
Yeah, right.
They just had some left over.
Get rid of the kitchen sampler. No, but you're right. The fried chicken is the star. 100%.
But 50s Prime Time used to be known for quite a few shenanigans. Is it your cousin that is your server? And so they would harass you about your manners.
Your cousin is at Ohana.
Well, I have a number of cousins.
Whatever it is, they would harass you the entire time, right?
They used to.
But would this be the singular spot at Walt Disney World where you could dine and get harassed the most, much more than Whispering Canyon, right?
If it was 15 years ago. But they don't do much anymore because people are very confused by it. If you're not expecting it, the service is incredibly rude because the first thing they do is come out, make you set your own table and throw down a pile of straws and napkins.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not expecting that, you're like, what the heck is going on here? I can't believe we're being treated like this.
Yeah.
And because of that, they've had to tone it down an incredible amount. We could talk about the Fantasmic Dining Package real quick for a minute, if you'd like.
Yeah, hop in.
Well, the Fantasmic Dining Package guarantees you a seat, not a reserve seat, but just a seat in the reserve section for Fantasmic. And it's a fixed price meal at Hollywood and Vine, Brown Derby, as well as Mama Melrose. And at the restaurants, it now includes an entree and a dessert. It used to include the appetizer, which made it a really good deal on the dining plan because the dining plan didn't usually include the appetizer. But if you are on the dining plan, you can use the same number of credits to book it and get that seat, which is in the middle section for Fantasmic. And if you order some of the more expensive items, you can come out ahead, especially if you don't have any discounts, because you can't use the discounts on those kinds of dining packages.
But you might not want to order some of the expensive items because they might not be that good, right? At least at Mama Melrose, you stick to the pizza.
At Melrose,
A Disney steak to a point is a Disney steak. That one would be better than the sci-fi one, in my opinion, with the red wine sauce and macaroni and cheese is a popular dish. It's a huge steak, but you wouldn't. I would probably not get that out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on the dining plan, if you're going to dine at any of those restaurants, you absolutely want to book the Fantasmic dining package, if Fantasmic is something you're thinking of doing.
It's the best seat in the house, right? To get the dining package. So even if you get Fast Pass, they put you off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
To get centered at Fantasmic, you have to go through the dining package.
Mm-hmm. Best seats, yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't think is necessarily needed for Fantasmic. But if you're looking for front and center, that's how you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get it, is to book one of the packages.
Right.
So the Fantasmic dining package at Mama Melrose is $43 for adults and $18 for children, which isn't bad at all necessarily if you're going to go with some of the more expensive items that'll include any entree, any dessert, and a non-alcoholic beverage. That's not bad. $35 for the steak and a $10 dessert.
You're pretty much right on the number.
And then for Hollywood and Vine, you've got breakfast is $46 for adults and $28 for children. Lunch, dinner, $60 for adults and $36 for children. So you're paying between $6 and $8 extra for the Fantasmic seat if you're paying out of pocket. That's one thing that I'm not big on with the dining packages at the buffets, because at the restaurants, if you go big, you can kind of rationalize that you're getting your money's worth. At the buffets, you're literally paying $8 for that seat, which makes it a bit of a tougher sell. And then at the Brown Derby, lunch and dinner are $63 for adults and $22 for children, which may be a potentially more of a stretch to get your money's worth. You'd have to get the steak.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd want to go during dinner, I would think. Although at lunch, the whole menu is also available.
So reasonably well priced for majority of those options compared to what you're going to potentially pay even just to walk in during the middle of the day without a reserved quote-unquote seat at Fantasmic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Certainly, if you're going to go in for one of the pricier options, take a look at the menus on DisneyWorld.com, potentially figure out what you might want to order. But if you're on the dining plan, you might as well book it. Even if you just make somebody's day, they'll give you like paper tickets to take to Fantasmic and just hand them to somebody.
Mm.
Yeah, so even if you don't want to go, it's worth it. Bring back the old days when you can have a paper fast pass and hand it to somebody as you're leaving the park.
Mm.
Remember those days?
Ideally, somebody with a large camera that looks like they don't belong. Maybe doesn't have anything going on that night.
A little bit scruffy.
Maybe a little bit.
Columbia fishing shirt.
A little wobbly.
At 10:45 a.m.
So, I mean, you're paying the extra, $6 or $8 at Hollywood and Vine? It's a buffet. There's a lot of food. There's typically a theme going on.
Mm-hmm. They've been really good about changing that out almost quarterly, it seems like.
There are four themes, yeah.
Yeah.
So what? There's the Halloween.
Yep.
There's
Christmas.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Spring.
Springtime.
And there's like movie magic.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But the costumes are typically really good.
Mm.
They're adorable.
Yeah. So, and it's the only location typically to get pictures of the characters in those outfits, especially Halloween and Christmas are really fun.
So you'll get to do a picture when you first walk in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the characters will make their way around to the tables throughout the meal.
Right.
Yeah.
The food is really hit or miss. I have been there maybe 5 times in the last 2 years. I've had great food, 3 of them, and just okay to pretty bad food, 2 of them. But there's always plenty to eat, and there's always plenty of soft serve ice cream if worse comes to worse.
We went for the Christmas one 2 years ago. Last year? We went for the Christmas one, and I felt it was good. The food was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was pleasantly surprised. I expected it to be a huge letdown because typically you trade off quality of the food for dining with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And this ultimately felt like one of the locations where there wasn't the trade-off. Now, granted, that's not the case all year round, but during Christmas, it was fine. When was your bad experience, Josh?
Christmas. Last Christmas, we were there the first week of December, probably. So, also worth mentioning, Hollywood and Vine is a completely different experience during breakfast when the Disney Junior characters are there and the kids dance around with them. That's also the one way to get into the studios before the park opens, although they do open to all guests. But it does get you a bit of a head start on that if you get there very early. They do open breakfast at 8 a.m., so you can dine there. It does not offer any touring advantage because you're let out right into the fray, so to speak. So if you are trying to do Toy Story Land first thing or something, you don't want to do the before park.
So this breakfast is not like if I were to go to be our guest for breakfast and then walk right on the Seven Doors at Rope Drop. That's not the case.
Not happening.
You're literally going to be let out behind potentially hundreds of people.
And depending on how they do Rope Drop, there is sometimes a jump on the Jedi training signups. But these days, Jedi training signups are a much lower priority than they used to be because everybody is now headed to Toy Story Land. So you can go sign up for Jedi training at 10:30 in the morning and get your choice of afternoon times. So,
oh, how the times have changed.
And they will change again August 29th. Can't wait. So if I'm picking a table service restaurant, I don't think the choices are nearly as bad as people say, as the reputation is.
It could be worse. You could have the Epcot problem where there's quantity over quality.
Perhaps another podcast.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as long as you're listening to Walt Love Podcasting, you're going to know which items to get. And the space of the restaurants and the theming is going to be fine. You're going to enjoy character meals at some of them. Potentially, you want to turn that into a Fantasmic dining package and get your money's worth on some items while also still getting good seating for Fantasmic.
I would take a good look at the Brown Derby lunch menu, keeping in mind one thing that if you do go around Christmas or around Easter, they will potentially not offer the less expensive entrees. So you'll want to double check that. But I don't think you can beat Brown Derby lunch at a theme park restaurant. I think that is the best theme park restaurant for lunch that you can go to for the money.
Have you ever gone to Restaurantosaurus?
Yes.
On a more serious note, have any of you guys done with the Dining with the Imagineer? Because they do that at Brown Derby lunch as well. What'd you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down, worth it, not worth it?
Imagineer, it depends. They're all interesting people. The one thing is that you're not getting Joe Rohde or something on that. You know, Tony Baxter isn't sitting down. It's like a...
sitting across from you, your hands meet while you're trying to grab the free bread off the middle of the table.
Like it was some sort of a librarian, like a cataloger of stuff. Really? And so they knew all sorts of things about what was going on. But as far as like actually, like a lot of people wanted to hear about designing the attraction, like they wanted to talk about how they made Figment. And they're not going to be able to.
So it's hit or
they can tell you how it was cataloged. Beyond that.
Would you call it hit or miss, or would you just kind of call it miss?
I wouldn't call it a miss. It's an expectations game, like all things. Okay. It was really interesting, and it's not a bad value.
You just don't know who you're getting until you sit down.
But it's impossible to get into as well. It's like 12 spots twice a week or something.
Yeah, it's very limited.
It's impossible to get into.
Do they still give you the plate at the end of the meal?
I do not receive a plate, but... usually I get ushered out of those things before they end. So
they used to give you, there were these, I have one downstairs I'll show you guys, but it's these clear plates that's Dining with an Imagineer, and they would sign them in Sharpie.
I'd also take a look at Sci-Fi, not particularly expensive. Mama Melrose, certainly not a hidden gem, but if you stick to the less expensive items, it's a pleasant, probably... other than Brown Derby, the most relaxing restaurant. There's nothing relaxing about Primetime Cafe, which one of the reasons why I'm not a big proponent of it. I just want to relax and hang out and enjoy my time without having people just everywhere. That's just me.
Hollywood and Vine. Certainly a fun seasonal character meal. If you're looking for a character meal, I think you have to take a hard look at it. On the other hand, there is something to say for potentially making an evening of going to Chef Mickey's with the monorail overhead, or an Ohana breakfast with Mickey and Stitch. There's a lot of options, but it's a fun, unique character meal. There's at least a 60% chance that the food is going to be edible.
That's all you can ask for.
Better than Chef Mickey's.
We're at the 0% chance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so quick service options at Hollywood Studios.
Underrated.
You think underrated?
Underrated.
There's good options out there.
The quick service as a whole in the whole entire park
is vastly underrated. And I know what you're thinking. It's not. But I would ask you if you could tell me what is on the menu at Backlot Express right now. Can you tell me what is on the dinner menu at ABC Commissary right now? And I think most people probably have no idea that right now you can get chicken and biscuits at Backlot Express with a delicious strawberry, tangy strawberry sauce on. You can get a delicious Cuban sandwich and fries freshly pressed right now. Two of the probably best quick service entrees in any park right now.
You're right, but that was introduced, what, earlier this year, right?
Technically.
Yeah, weeks ago.
So it's not like it's been this way for years. Those two.
Historically, those, potentially, it has lagged. Sure.
Yeah. But right now, those two are phenomenal options.
ABC Commissary has been good for a while, in my opinion, especially for dinner, where they switch to a quick casual where you order from the register or mobile order as usual, and they'll bring you the food out. They have a shrimp teriyaki bowl that's very good. They have an empanada that's good. Ribs are big. They have a Southwest burger that's good.
They have a adult-sized version of their chicken tendies with steak fries.
Of course.
Steak fries are great.
Chili lime dusted steak fries.
Yes. They're absolutely spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. And the chicken and biscuits is great. Alternatively, Backlot Express just ditched their Star Wars themed menu. So
they have a good salad there too. The Southwest salad is very good. Ton of avocado, grilled chicken, corn tortilla chips.
Positives about Backlot Express as well. Backlot Express, of course, is the quick service located literally next to Star Tours. Sandwiched between Star Tours and Indiana Jones at Epic Stunt Spectacular, basically. A big, large, vast seating area, indoor and outdoor seating, and you could refill your soda. That's a huge plus right there.
Yeah, that's a big one. It's not going to be a freestyle machine, but it's still, you get, you know, the standard 8 to 10 choices or whatever. It's good. And the theme in there is fun too, right? I can't imagine that sticks around very much longer. It's the old backlot type Hollywood feel that the park seems to be ditching.
Yeah, and there's a few props in there from old Hollywood movies, including Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then there's some props actually in there from Horizons and World of Motion, the old Epcot attractions. So this is fun.
I think they know where those attractions are.
Okay, so...
But yeah, no, it's a good lineup, and it's a good lineup now. Was it a good lineup when it was all of the Star Wars stuff? The Galactic Burger, I was kind of a big fan of too.
You like the pumpernickel bread?
Not on the pumpernickel Galactic bun for a while.
Oh yeah,
they removed that.
Yeah,
they have a Caprese sandwich at Backlot Express. It's another good vegetarian option. Thick slices of mozzarella, nice pesto ciabatta bread. It's $10.
Yeah, Backlot's going to be a good spot going forward because that's going to be an easy way for people to grab a bite to eat that's relatively close to what will be the large queue for Star Wars on Grand Avenue, right? So that'll be the closest kind of quick service area. Maybe that and ABC Commissary might be close. You choose one or the other, but Backlot's really stepped up their game recently.
Yeah, I would put that on your short list if you're going to eat a quick service meal at the studios. Maybe even after Star Wars opens, depending on how hard it is to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
I would take a look at that menu. Blog Mickey has a great review.
Mm, as do you.
I appreciate that.
Did you hit publish on that?
I did, yeah.
Okay, thank goodness.
I got it.
Yeah, no, it was a surprisingly good update to the menu there. And I think I might even agree with you there on some of the best quick service items that you can find at any of the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe you're changing my mind a little bit on the historically bad review that a lot of quick service places at studios have been receiving.
And you can sit outside and watch Jedi training, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
They have high top tables. They have regular tables. They have air-conditioned tables. They have plentiful outdoor seating. Mobile order works well there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want the more basic stuff, too, they have burgers. They have that sort of stuff.
Don't
no tenders. Don't overlook those.
Don't overlook the tenders. And don't forget that mobile order exists for a reason. And a majority of the average consumers coming to order from there are not using mobile order. You're going to bypass so much of the line by using mobile order. Right through the My Disney Experience app, just toss your credit card in, give Disney some more of your money, and you're happy.
Especially if you're ordering at a peak time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's going to still take you 5 to 10 minutes for that order to be put through, which may be longer than if there's a register open, walk up to the register. But if there isn't, at a peak time where it can get 10 to 20 people deep on each register of the 6 that they're probably using at any given point.
But very quickly on mobile order, one other thing about mobile order is even if you are ordering at an off time, I always recommend pulling up mobile order because there are some options in there that you might not be thinking of. If you're ordering a kid's meal, in particular, the menu board does not tell you all the options that you can get. You can usually double up on fries and you can get a fountain beverage, which the menu will not tell you. You might not, when you're ordering from the register and you're trying to order for 4 or 5 people, you might not remember that you want the salad dressing on the side, but it's an option in mobile order. So I usually recommend people check that out. And there's also sometimes items on there that are not on the regular menu. If there's like a vegetarian option that's less expensive, you can ask and they have it, but it won't be on the menu. Mm-hmm. And that's worthwhile to check out as well.
Mobile order in general is definitely worth a first glance when you're considering somewhere to eat.
But there is also Woody's Lunchbox.
There's Woody's Lunchbox.
Which is the only quick service serving breakfast there besides Starbucks?
Breakfast was good. I don't know if it's as good as like the lunch dinner menu combo.
I'm not a big sweets person, but they have s'mores French toast that is just really, it's a sugar rush, but it's so good.
So it's s'mores with like Nutella, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. Especially if you're going for the sweets.
Yeah, if you're after the sweets.
Yeah, if you're after a more substantial meal, probably it's not your first choice.
A turkey breakfast sandwich, as I recall.
Yep. With eggs in it, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that you have to obviously stop for breakfast, which you might want to do after doing Slinky Dog Dash, potentially. But from a touring perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be eating from 9:45 until 10:30 because the wait times are rising.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a limited amount of things that you want to do at the studios, which you very may well, if you have short kids that can't do Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Star Tours, you certainly could take a break.
Well, that's why they ditched breakfast over at Satulia Canteen in Pandora. Because nobody was going to it. They were in line for the rides. By the time it hit for lunchtime, nobody was going to breakfast.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's the same thing with Toy Story, where you're going to have one major attraction. So for in Pandora, it would be Flight of Passage as the major crowd eater in the beginning of the morning. And for Toy Story Land, it would be Slinky Dog Dash. And I don't think many people are considering going to breakfast right away after doing one of those rides. They'll probably do the lesser attraction, which might be Aliens, Swirling Saucers, or Navi River Journey. And then they might just leave the land completely and not even consider breakfast. I'm surprised, quite pleasantly surprised, I think, that breakfast has stuck around in Toy Story as long as it did. Because it's stuck around longer in Toy Story than it did in Pandora.
It's popular with the people that don't want to do Slinky Dog Dash as well. Like, if they see the roller coaster, decide they don't want to do it, so they go over and order something from the...
I think the ideal touring plan there in the morning is to have a Slinky Dog return time for something like 10 a.m. And you can casually, you don't even have to rope drop, you can casually walk back to Swirling Saucers. It's going to be a 10-minute wait for the first hour or two in the morning anyways. You do Alien Swirling Saucers, you grab your breakfast, you do Slinky Dog when your fast pass comes up at 10, and then you do the rest of the park. If you're looking for a breakfast option, that would be potentially one to consider.
The food at lunch and dinner is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is such a hassle and so unpleasant to eat there that I don't think it's worth it. I never go there. I like the food, but there's not enough seating. It's all outdoors. There's very little coverage. and there probably isn't anywhere to sit or eat unless you have somebody who is going to take up a table for the 15 minutes, even on mobile order, that it takes to get your food.
Mm-hmm.
If not the amount of people that just perpetuate the seating area there without any food, just because it's the only seats in Toy Story Land. Only seats, only shade.
And the thing is, we just talked about Backlot Express that has potentially just as good, if not better, food items, but way more seating, and it's under air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's by far the more preferred route to go.
Backlot Express, you have air conditioning. You don't need to fight for a seat. You could refill your soda.
Mm-hmm.
And you're paying like, well, the barbecue brisket melt at Woody's Lunchbox is $13. You can get the chicken tenders for 10.
You're comparing a brisket melt to chicken tenders?
Hear me out.
Man, after the Springs episode, chicken guy.
Yeah.
You guys, hear me out.
Hear me out.
Let's not.
Woody's Lunchbox is dead to me.
Right.
Since they removed the Monte Cristo.
So from the first week of operation, it's been dead to you.
Yeah.
Because that was the best thing on the menu. I think in my review, I don't think I've edited it since then. Good long form content. But I said that it was like the best quick service option that you could have maybe at Walt Disney World, the Monte Cristo was. Which may have been a bit overreaching there, but it was really, really good.
It was.
You got to be controversial. You want to?
Listenership. Controversial. So the tachos have a regular chili, but there's also a vegetarian chili you can get instead. If you get it without the sour cream and the cheese, you get a vegan option there, boyo.
Did you learn that by asking cast members or by looking on the mobile order app where it said you had a vegan chili option?
We asked because we were looking for no beef, no red meat in the chili. We wanted to confirm that the chili wasn't made with beef.
Mm.
And fortunately, the chili was not made with beef, but then the cast member said, hey, well, here's the option. We have vegetarian chili. And it was, oh, do tell.
Mm.
And honestly, I'm not a chili guy. It was pretty damn tasty.
As a non-chili guy, it was good chili.
Okay, so as a non-chili guy,
mm-hmm.
It was tasty.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know chili to compare it to. Also note that the side options at Woody's Lunchbox, they typically try to serve you those potato barrels. They have a macaroni salad.
Mm-hmm.
You can get
very good.
That was actually really good.
The tomato soup is good too.
Yeah, I think as much as people are on about the tachos, and they say, "Oh, potato barrels," that's going to be the same thing, right? They're both what, tater tots, essentially.
Trademark.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll pay
you
the $5.
You have the money to pay.
It's definitely worth checking out the other options for your sides.
The tots are toaster ovened, not fried. So they're not as crispy.
Mm-hmm. But it may be a good, I think the tachos work well. The potato barrels as themselves don't.
But Woody's Lunchbox would be the last quick service I would take my family to.
The last one?
The last
Where would be
one?
The number one then?
Backlot Express.
All right, so let's fill in the middle then. Sunset Ranch.
Would you take your, with the logistical problems
no.
of potentially not being able to find anywhere to sit, mm-mm. if you're not a mobile order person, which you may not want to put your credit card in the My Disney Experience app off the record, sooner or later they're going to lose them. So you might not want to put your credit card in the mobile app, or you may have questions or what have you. You're going to have to wait 20-25 minutes in the sun because they only have two registers. If you have mobile order, there is an area to wait, but for whatever reason, people think the closer you are to the mobile order window, the quicker your food is going to come out. So even that is a hassle with all the people waiting. It's what were they, I guess that's another studio's topic, but what were they thinking?
Yeah.
They've been doing this for 45 years. And this is, so yes, even if the food is good, I would still not do it, especially if it's hot out, because there is very little coverage. You're outside. It is not comfortable. It's not the break that I think you want when you're sitting down to a meal, which is one of the reasons why I recommend some of those less expensive table service options so highly, as it's a good opportunity to recharge. And then you could get, I mean, there are people sitting at, you could just sit grandma down in the morning and meet her at lunchtime.
He doesn't know the difference.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed breakfast so much, is because it's not busy there at all for breakfast.
Much less busy, but still a lot of people sitting down.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah, still quite a few, but I mean,
you had a fight for a table. We got there at 9:30 and had a fight for a table for breakfast. Nobody else had food. We were the only people in line to get food. Nobody else had food.
Yeah, I guess when you're done with your Slinky Dog rope drop, what you gonna do? You're gonna sit down and reevaluate your life at Woody's Lunchbox.
Wouldn't be the first time I've been there.
So Sunset Ranch. What we got there? We got Rosie's All American Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Creepy theme. Burgers, pretty good burgers. The fried green tomato sandwich there is surprisingly good as a vegetarian option. They have hot dogs now. Backlot Express no longer has hot dogs. If you want a hot dog, you got to go somewhere else.
Got to go there.
Like KRNR.
Next door, you got Catalina Eddie's.
With Pizza Rizzo closed, they serve the exact same pizza. Like, if you like Pizza Fari, there's nothing wrong with that, as much as it pains me to say that out loud. Catalina Eddie's serves the same pizzas, and they have the Caesar salad. They are, this has only been funny to me, I have found, but they do not have pizza sauce at Catalina Eddie's Pizzeria. No pizza sauce.
Oh, they have the ranch sauce for
the breadsticks. They're breadsticks served with Caesar salad dressing. Ugh. And if you ask for it, they do not have marinara, which is hilarious to me, but nobody else. Not the first time.
If it's hilarious to you, let us know in the comments.
Fairfax Fair, a Latin vibe these days, is actually pretty good. They have a tamale, a pork tamale that is really hefty with some cilantro rice. They have the rice bowls with the same vegetarian chili as they serve at Woody's Lunchbox. So if that sounded good to you, you can get a 7-layer rice bowl. The Fairfax salad is fantastic, with pulled pork on it and a jalapeno dressing.
They have hot dogs there now, too.
Hot dogs. They do fajitas. They do a surprisingly good Latin mojo pork sandwich.
Empanadas.
Mm-hmm.
I love that 7-layer rice bowl. I really do. It has no right to be as good as it is.
Mm-hmm. It was a non-rice bowl guy.
It was a non-rice bowl guy. That's it.
Heard that.
And actually, let's correct ourselves too. It's a vegan chili, not vegetarian. So it fits those vegans in your life very well.
They used to do a good breakfast at Fairfax Fair. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that for the month or so that it wasn't offered for very long.
I would put Fairfax at least on my list. I think it's third. That's a solid menu. It's easy to order. Although with Pizza Rizzo closed, and a lot of the quick service is closing early, even ABC Commissary, which we'll get to in a minute, closes an hour before the park. So if you're going in the evening, it might be busier than you're expecting, or you may find yourself there anyway because everywhere else is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. If you are doing quick service, you'll want to check which ones are staying open, because chances are ABC and Backlot are going to close an hour early. And because Fairfax is right across from the Hollywood Hills Theater, where they do Fantasmic, you get a lot of people in that area in the evening as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
On the other hand, if you are headed to Fantasmic, you could grab something to eat there potentially if you don't mind the hall. But Fairfax is good, and it's a nice change of pace. There's no burgers. Apparently, they do a hot dog, but no burgers, no tendies. It's all.
The menu says everything you mentioned, plus a chili cheese all beef foot long hot dog.
So Dad's happy.
Yeah.
Very well.
$13, serve with chips. They have Yingling on draft, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. It could be worse. We'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm. I like the Fairfax salad. If you're looking for a salad, is fantastic. The Mojo pulled pork sandwich is very good. I would probably stay away from the fajitas, probably stay away from the empanadas. Not the worst decision you could make, but I don't think they're necessarily going to be top bill. If you're looking for something like that, the tamale is very good. It's an incredibly substantial portion and surprisingly good.
Can you split it with one person or two people?
You certainly could. I didn't. But you probably could. There's also Hollywood Scoops is there. If you're looking for a sundae, they have a couple of interesting sundae options there. An apple crisp option. There's also Anaheim Produce is there. If you're looking for a pretzel or a churro, they have a surprisingly good frozen margarita there with a salted rim and a lime, which is a nice touch to the frozen drink, a seasonal colada that's very good, particularly the mango. Not as good a beer choices as they used to have, but there is a bar there. The Sunshine Cafe has a couple of draft options, Goose Island, some mixed drinks.
So pro tip with these pop-up bar studios, you'll see them around. There's one over near Indiana Jones, typically one outside of Brown Derby, near the animation or the big archway towards the launch bay. And then, of course, this bar as well. If you're going to get a drink, any mixed drink, like Captain and Coke or something, or like a Tito's and Cran, double up. It's an extra $2.50. So your drink is like $11 instead of the $8. Double up. Get the double. Just do it. It's way more bang for your buck. Don't tell anybody, though. So last on the list, I mean, for major quick service, at least, ABC Commissary?
ABC Commissary.
We really didn't deep dive into this. So ABC Commissary has a lot of great options on the menu.
Some.
They have the We Fried the Kitchen Challenge, which is the land and sea platter.
If you like Columbia Harbor House, like if you like those kinds of fried shrimp, if you like the chicken, if you like the fish, you can get that at ABC Commissary. Is it just for lunch?
That's on dinner menu.
The fried food should be lunch.
They're on both. Looks like they're doing the same menu all day. No, there are some more stuff for dinner. But I guess you can get the fried stuff for dinner now.
That's a good thing.
Cool. You said stay away from the ribs, right?
It is a lot of ribs. You remember when we got them?
Oh, they were enormous.
It's a huge portion.
$18.29 worth of ribs.
And if you're on the dining plan, maybe it's something you'd want to seek out. Very shareable, but I don't think the quality is not particularly high, I don't think.
There's a lot of gristle. There's a lot of fat.
You said there's a lot of ribs. Are we talking like a half rack of ribs here?
No.
No?
It's like...
four ribs?
Like a full-on...
the full rack, potentially?
It's like cut two... into three pieces, so it's like... it's probably 12 ribs.
Oh, okay.
And they're stacked in the plate, and it's just... it's a hefty amount of food.
It's a significant amount of food.
It's like they realize that a majority of the weight with the ribs is the bone and gristle, so they just give you more.
Is there enough meat on the bones here to make it worth it at $18?
The quality is not fantastic.
Okay.
So it's not something that I would seek out. On the other hand, if you want to sit down to like a big messy meal, you could do a lot worse.
If you're on the dining plan, screw it. It's the most expensive option. Stick it to the man. Other than that, braised beef and enchilada, which I thought was pretty mediocre. The shrimp teriyaki bowl and the teriyaki vegetable bowl are both fantastic options, though.
Surprisingly good, yeah. Tangy teriyaki, a lot of shrimp. The vegetable bowl's full of rice, edamame, peppers. The Mediterranean salad is pretty good, a nice change of pace. Comes with pita bread. Yeah, it's got like the pepperoncini situation, red onions, tomato, Kalamata olives, feta cheese. A nice vinaigrette, maybe a lighter option. You can get it with chicken if you want or without. The vegan burger there is probably above average with the sriracha mustard. Well, I have pulled up the menu here. So they also have a Southwest barbecue burger, flame broiled 1/3 pound Angus burger topped with chipotle barbecue pulled pork, cheddar, green chilies, and bread and butter pickles, finished with green chili aioli and crisp onion rings on a brioche bun with signature Southwestern steak fries dusted in chili lime seasoning. How about that?
How much will that cost me?
$15.49. It used to be on Texas Toast. It was better when it was on Texas Toast.
I remember that. That was great.
But at ABC Commissary, that is an above average, probably the best quick service burger in the park. The shrimp teriyaki bowl is surprisingly good. If you don't want the shrimp, you can get it as a vegetable bowl. The Mediterranean salad, nice change of pace. If you like Columbia Harbor House fried food, you'll love ABC Commissary fried food. Plenty of outdoor seating, air-conditioned seating. Not a great choice.
So if you're going to do quick service, right, you're gonna completely disregard what JoshEasyWW.com, a great site, said. You're going to skip your table service for lunch, right? He said, oh, Brown Derby, it sounds good. He made it sound good, but maybe he's on the payroll. He's taking a cut. I don't trust him.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
You're going to go to to a quick service, where's your number one quick service? Is that still Backlot Express with the new items there?
I think so.
And then number two, your fallback might be ABC Commissary.
Best particularly burger. For dinner. They don't okay. offer the burger during lunch.
Oh, okay.
For lunch, it's the ribs, the fried food. They have a chicken sandwich I wouldn't get. Chicken tenders, maybe. I wish they would toss them in a sauce. They used to toss them in a couple of different sauces. They had a buffalo sauce. They had a sweet chili sauce. And those were really good.
Yeah, the sweet chili sauce was great.
It was. They were really good.
Reminds me of the old days, like remember when Wendy's had the boneless buffalo wings?
I don't. What is Wendy's? What park is that at?
Probably Epcot.
I'm going home.
I got bad news. You have a dog now.
So you're going to go to Backlot, ABC Commissary.
Fairfax Fair.
Fairfax Fair. Is there any reason to go further than that? Further down the list than that? Probably not.
Well, Rosie's All-American if you want a burger. The burger there has crispy onion petals. The green tomato, fried green tomato sandwich there is actually really good. I wouldn't necessarily seek it out over, but it's a good vegetarian option for sure. If you are after a pizza kettle, the thing about Sunset Ranch is it has a nice variety. We should say that those places, Rosie's, Fairfax, and Catalina Eddie's are all within 50 feet of each other. Mm-hmm. They have one big expansive seating area. So it's sort of like their one menu. Mm-hmm. Although you're going to have to go to a couple different places to potentially order the food, kind of like a resort quick service. So there is that. So if you want burger, pizza, Latin sort of thing, you could go there.
It's a good spot to sit down with. Maybe if you have a bunch of picky eaters in your family, you can mm-hmm. all just choose to sit down. And if you've got, you know, some a Latin flair, if you want that, then you can go get that and et cetera.
Or just go out of your comfort zone a bit, too. It's really good food.
Yeah.
I think we're missing the elephant in the room and not Dumbo, now in theaters.
Great movie.
Hashtag ad, hashtag host.
Great movie. What's the elephant? Baseline Tap House?
Baseline Tap House. So now for the last hour of this podcast, we're going to discuss the best option at Disney's Hollywood Studio.
They started out offering 8 beers, including the Scrimshaw Pilsner with an IBU of 12. All joking aside, Baseline has 8 typically very good California draft beers. But on the food front, they have an incredible charcuterie mm-hmm. plate for $10. Like good meat. Very good cheese, very nicely presented. It's an impressive array.
For a quick service in a theme park, it's amazingly good.
Yeah.
And amazingly carefully presented. I'm thinking in my mind, we just did the Disney Springs. They've got a great charcuterie board over at Wine Bar George. And this is just like a hair below it, maybe, which is surprising.
High praise.
Yeah, it's very good. And smartly presented. And that's one of the few things food options wise that stayed on the menu since day one, right? They've had some things come and go.
You got a pretzel there still. It's not a bad option if you want to add some heft.
But it's a pretzel's good. Good
pretzel. It's a big pretzel it's not a beer cheese sauce, is it?
There's a beer cheese and there's also a mustard.
Okay.
Yep.
There you go. Beer cheese is great. It's not the regular theme park pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
They also have, they still have the spiced almonds there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they also have a steak puff.
Which is spectacular.
Yeah. That was introduced middle of last year, I think.
Yeah. Like it's like a steak puff. So it's a puff pastry with steak on top with an olive tempanade.
But and, very, very good.
And maybe $13. Sometimes they sell out of it. But if you want to sit and relax and do a bit of people watching, maybe particularly before Star Wars, maybe particularly after... I don't know what that area is going to look like.
Well, Baseline is going to be our savior.
Once you pay your boy to stand in line on Grand Avenue for Star Wars, you can go ahead and get a beer at Baseline and watch him go up the line little by little by little.
Notwithstanding the fumes off of Josh's RV, which would be posed.
Playing Nintendo 64 in my underwear.
So a few weeks ago, we discussed Josh parking his RV on Grand Avenue. And then later that night, he tweeted...
Because I don't have a home.
He tweeted... He tweeted at WW Today asking them for permission to park his RV on Grand Avenue. Did they ever respond?
No, I think they've long muted the most powerful blog in the world.
They have
short-sighted. I took it, if they don't say no, it's a yes, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's
correct. Yeah.
In some situations.
Well, it's not a stroller of certain dimensions, so it's correct. Fine.
Right.
Fine.
But baseline is going to be our savior for Star Wars, right?
I mean, I'm going to be at Woody's Lunchbox.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Each their own.
With the adult lemonade.
To get food there or get onto Smuggler's Run.
Well, hear me out. Woody's Lunchbox has mobile order. Baseline does not.
Hmm.
Not yet.
Yeah. But Baseline has a pretty fantastic beer lineup. A couple of Stone Brewing beers, typically. A couple of Sierra Nevada. Mm-hmm. A Ballast Point, typically. And a nice assortment. They have a couple of mixed drinks. They have several wines. The liquor is not on the menu, but they'd be more than happy to pour you a couple ounces of this or that.
Mm-hmm.
What's also good is that the beers come in two sizes.
Big and bigger?
Big and mm-hmm. bigger.
Yeah.
Is what, 16 and 22?
Mm-hmm. 16, 22, and they yeah. have a nice flight, too, 4x5 ounce, which is a nice choice. They have a very good, the blood orange cider is good, too.
It is. And you get these great souvenir cards that have the old, like, theme of the location is meant to be this old printing house,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm, probably.
And you hit the cards have the little old printing press emblems on them. They look nice, but they tell you a bit about the beer, and there's one for each of the beers that they bring in. So it turns into an alcoholic trading card game.
Potentially.
Potentially.
If you see us throwing the cards at each other.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the burrito Kickstarter game that I purchased for $95.
If anybody is available this September to come play Throw Burrito
mm-hmm.
here in Orlando, we're going to be having a pool party at the Hippy Dippy Pool at Pop Century.
August 28th to September 4th.
Yeah.
We're going to be the only people in the pool while everybody else will be at Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
So just wrapping things up and going around the park with the other options, we have the funnel cake stand near Indiana Jones. Epic Spectacular. They got funnel cakes, of course, but the one is, what, $8.49 for a snack credit on the dining plan?
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big funnel cake, too.
You can bring those into Indiana Jones as well, which is nice. Mm. You've had that one, Mike. The cookies, is it a cookies and cream?
Cookies and cream with a scoop of ice cream, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm. Is it Mickey-shaped-ish?
If you want it to be, yeah. You get two Oreos and a scoop of ice cream. You can do that with what you...
I would guess that's probably the idea.
Mm-hmm. I'll nibble a little off. It'll be Mickey shape in a few minutes.
Yeah. No, it's a good portion split between two people easily.
And we have a dreamsicle drink there, which is orange and vanilla soft serve with Stoli vanilla vodka. That's pretty good as well. Root beer floats, alcoholic or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a convenient spot there. It's right outside Indiana Jones entrance on the right.
Dockside Diner?
Oh, yeah. Not a bad nachos, another place for a hot dog. Mm-hmm. That menu switches out a lot.
Yeah.
The only thing consistent has been the hot dog, and then they have some kind of blue alcoholic drink
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Everything maybe else a plant-based testing of a drink, maybe for another land.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's weird.
Picnic tables right outside Echo Lake.
I think it's plenty of seating if it's nice out. Yeah.
But you're going to be interrupted by March of the First Order and a galaxy far, far away every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, there's worse things in this world. You could be at Epcot. But basically, next door to it, you have a PV's Polar Pipeline or PV's Frozen Concoctions, whatever the mm-hmm. name is.
Frozen Concoctions.
It's an icy stand, but they'll spike your drink for an extra $4.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it.
Yeah.
You get a frozen rum and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Or frozen Jack and Coke.
And a Rocketeer reference,
yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few. When it's open.
Afternoons, typically.
I was going to say, it seems like it's been open more often than not.
That's
especially
good.
In the afternoons, yeah. Especially lately. Lately being the past, I don't know, 6 months to a year.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sweet Spells got rid of... Well, let's backtrack here. Before there was Baseline Tap House, it was...
Sad time.
Writer's stop. And they had a small bakery section with the carrot cake cookie that was to die for. And then when they closed it to do over to Baseline, they moved that cookie over to Sweet Spells for a bit. And then it eventually found its new home at Starbucks. The carrot cake cookie was revamped and turned into a more whoopie pie type deal that is now found over at the Starbucks location at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is the Trolley Car Cafe. And I think that's really the only unique and interesting item there. Oh, they recently had some new desserts, didn't they?
Yeah, they just debuted four different desserts, which are actually pretty well done. But it's, you know, if you're not going to be there in the next few months, I'm sure it's going to change again during the summer or fall.
Stay tuned to the podcast for updates.
Yeah, of course.
You can make a full day out of Hollywood Studios. It's not a place you want to avoid eating at. Especially like a few years ago, you just don't want, you wouldn't want to be caught dead there trying to find a meal. You would settle for something because it was there, but you wouldn't just stop and be like, oh, we're going to enjoy ourselves. I think over the past year or so, that's definitely changed, especially the last few months. You find a great meal at Brand Derby, Sci-Fi.
Backlot.
Backlot, Fairfax.
Some good items at ABC.
Yeah.
I would look at ABC Commissary Dinner, Shrimp Teriyaki Bowl, Vegetable Bowl. I would look at Backlot Express as the chicken and biscuits and the Cuban sandwich and the Southwest salad. Fairfax Fair, Fairfax salad, Mojo pulled pork sandwich, the rice bowls. And we didn't mention the Woody's Lunchbox tarts, but that's a good grab and go, kind of grab and go
option. They're good. Well, they're nearing, or they're over $4 now?
Are they that much now?
I think they're like $3.99. Or did they go to $4.29?
$4.29.
$4.29, which is
okay.
A bit much for a Pop-Tart,
probably. Good thing we didn't mention it before then.
Yeah.
But there's some good options at the studios that maybe you weren't aware of. Maybe you were. Maybe you think they're trash.
you think they're trash, and then you really get into the discussion of it, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's actually really good options there.
Some good options.
There are. If you feel we're incorrect, please let us know.
We love it. I love it.
Yeah. We love all comments. We read all comments. Well, hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Walt Love Podcasting. Signing off for the day, this is Brett Schmoofy on Twitter.
Josh, easywww.com.
And Mike with blogmickey.com.
Thanks. Have a great day.